Madame Strange, Teller of the Future, Book 3, Web of Lies, Chapter 15. Bianca had made no progress toward a solution and was no closer to the truth. It seemed everyone was lying to her, Winnie, Jerry, and Darla. She was starting to doubt there was any truth to be found. Once again, Bianca didn't know what to do. Until now, she felt no personal risk or threat, just inconvenience. Now she wondered if she would ever be free of this strange entanglement. There seemed to be no way out. Bianca had not heard from one member of the Bixby family, Jonathan. She prayed the real story would emerge when he finally came to see her, but she did not feel optimistic. All she could do was wait. Bianca settled in for an evening alone in the RV. She reached for her CD player, but didn't want to hear the Carter family this time. "I need some Philip Glass to cleanse my brain cell," she thought. Bianca found her old CD of Glassworks and put it on. Glass's music enveloped her and she surrendered herself to the flow. The music reminded her of a river, not just any river, a long one that ran not just through miles of geography but flows through eons of time as well. Music was working, healing her deeply, as it always did. Bianca sighed. Jonathan showed up early the next morning. Bianca knew he was outside her door before he knocked. "Please come in," she called. He entered hesitantly. "I was waiting for you." The RV smelled of coffee, Jonathan noticed. "Want some?" Bianca asked. He nodded. "Sit," she said. She got a cup and filled it. "Black, right?" she asked. "How did you know?" Bianca ignored his question. She did not want to talk about coffee. She handed him a cup and then sat down. "I wanted to thank you for coming all the way here to talk to us," Jonathan began. Bianca felt that was not why he came to see her at all. There was something else on his mind. She tried to see inside him, but no clear feelings or thoughts surfaced. Bianca waited in silence. She had all day. She couldn't go anywhere or do anything else until this ordeal ended, and it seemed as if it would never end. "I expect he'll lie to me too," she thought, "but maybe I can get a little closer to the truth, at least." Bianca wasn't a Christian. She didn't belong to or follow any religion. She had nothing against religions. None of them appealed to her. She had read many sacred texts and recalled Jesus and Pilate in John 18:30. "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. She didn't identify herself with Pilate, but she wondered if she would ever learn the truth about this strange Bixby family. "Jerry and Winnie were my life," Jonathan began. He spoke softly. "Losing them shattered my world. I've never recovered. I act as if I have, but it's just a false front. I do it for Darla and for my other kids. Inside, I still feel empty. I think I always will." Winnie and Jerry appeared inside the RV. Only Bianca saw them. Jonathan sighed. "I've relived that day ever since. What could I have done differently? Where did it go wrong? Was it all my fault?" Jonathan appeared genuinely distraught, but Bianca had learned to distrust everything she saw or heard from this family. "Tell me what happened," she said. "It was simple. Something we had done many times on our other trips. I took Jerry into the men's room with me. Darla took Winnie with her. Both rooms were crowded. We got distracted by what we were doing, turned around for a moment, and when we turned back, the kids were gone. No one in the restrooms had seen them or knew what happened. It was as if they had been invisible. I heard someone yelling outside the men's room and ran out. It was Darla. She looked at me and shrieked, 'I can't find Winnie!' Then she noticed Jerry wasn't with me. 'Where's Jerry?' she screamed. 'I don't know,' was all I could say. People started looking immediately. I somehow knew they wouldn't find our kids. I felt guilty for being so certain they were gone, but I was. I didn't say anything to Darla. She started going up to children who looked like around the same ages as Jerry and Winnie, frightening their parents. People explained our kids had just disappeared. It was chaos for a while. Then people drifted on their way. We were left with police and the rest stop manager. Even though it only just happened, I felt like my kids had been erased from the world. It was like when you're dreaming and you find something and you hold it in your hand, and then you wake up and it's just not there anymore, and you feel really strange. 'I just had it. It was right here. Where did it go?' Jonathan looked at Bianca. She had listened impassively. 'Since then, I felt like I've lived in a nightmare that won't end. I hoped you coming here out of the blue meant we could get closure, but I guess that's not going to happen. But thank you anyway. I guess the nightmare isn't over.' 'Sometimes they don't end,' Bianca said. 'I just want to wake up and see Jerry and Winnie again,' Jonathan sobbed. 'Is that asking so much?' 'Dad?' Winnie said. Jonathan didn't hear her. Dad? She repeated louder. Dad? Jerry said. We're right here. Jonathan didn't respond. Bianca looked at them. She wondered if she could tell Jonathan they were there. Would he even believe me? Or would it break him, finally? Bianca didn't want to risk it. She recalled the story Darla told her and had another idea. Why did you do it? Bianca asked. Do what? Lie about your children being abducted. It wasn't a lie, Bianca. Yes, it was. You and Darla never had any children named Jerry and Winnie, did you? You must be insanely cruel to say something like that. Am I? I think it's the truth. Winnie and Jerry looked at her. They had no idea what she was doing. You and Darla played a cruel prank on everyone that day. Why? To get attention? Sympathy? Or money? No, shut up, you're evil! I'm right, aren't I? Jonathan jumped up, spilled his coffee on the table and seat. He ran past Winnie and Jerry and out the door. Why did you do that? Winnie asked. Everybody's been lying to me. I'm trapped with this insane family until the truth comes out. I was trying to provoke him. I guess I failed. Bianca decided to try leaving immediately. Maybe she had broken the Bixby family hold over her. She checked her cabinet doors to make sure they were tight, put her books and CDs back in their compartments, and eased herself into the driver's seat. She turned the key to start the RV. Will it even start? She wondered. It seemed like she had been stuck here for ages. Maybe the battery was dead. The engine sputtered and then started. Bianca shifted into drive, released the handbrake, and eased away from the curb. Darla jumped in front of the RV. Bianca hit the brake. She wasn't surprised. She opened the window. Please get out of the way, she ordered. Don't leave. Not yet. We need your help. I've done all I can. You're on your own now. Don't do it, Winnie said from behind Bianca. I know you want to, but don't. I'm useless here, Winnie, and I have a life to get back to. Not anymore, Jerry said. Bianca froze. What Jerry means is that your work isn't done yet. We still need you. But I've done everything I can. There's nothing left, Bianca protested. I brought you here. I spoke to the people you claim are your parents. No one seems to possess a modicum of truth. I don't know if you're all lying, but it sure seems like you are. I'm caught in the middle of a web of lies, and I can't see any way out. You have to break the web, Winnie said calmly. She didn't know why she said that. The words just came to her at that moment, and they seemed relevant. But first, you have to kill the spider that made it. Bianca realized that not only was the truth eluding her, it was also possible no one, not Jerry, Winnie, Jonathan, or Darla, knew what the truth was either. Bianca was good at finding webs. She had a new purpose.